794 will be the song of invitation.
Last week we began talking about, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And we talked about a miracle that Jesus performed. In the book of John, chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, the scripture says, many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. We stop to consider all the miracles that are recorded for us in Scripture. Jesus did some extraordinary things. And each and every time that He performed a miracle, He did so, and it was recorded that we might believe He is the Son of God. This morning we want to look at another miracle that Jesus performed. And this particular miracle is recorded for us in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and in Mark chapter 5 and in Luke chapter 8. We will look at Mark chapter 5 for our study this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with us to that. Mark chapter 5, and we want to begin it reading at verse 25. And the woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His cloak. For she thought, if I just touch His garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude passing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." As we look at this great story, there are some things that I think are very, very important to point out as we consider this great miracle. And first of all, I'd like for us to notice that the text mentions the fact that she had a hemorrhage. Well, we're not sure as to what all of that possibly meant, but the word itself just means flowing blood. And what we understand from the text as we read, many of the miracles that Jesus performed up to now in the gospel accounts were external. In other words, there were external things that you could visibly see that was wrong with someone. But this is an internal one. The external problems was obvious to everyone. But this one is different. It's an internal problem, and it was only known to this one woman. You'll notice here that the text would indicate this flowing blood. We would understand from Scripture that that would make her unclean. Now, what is significant of that? She had been unclean for 12 years. Well, what does that mean religiously for her? She had not been able to go and worship God or be in the presence of God for 12 years. When we go back and look at the book of Leviticus, chapter 15, verses 25 through 33, this would affect her spiritually being acceptable to God. She would be unclean. And what that means, you're not to go in the presence of God when you're unclean. Anyone who touches her, anything that she sat upon, that became unclean. Anyone that sat where she had sat, it became unclean. God was very specific about cleanliness in regards to worshiping Him in His presence. So it affected her spiritually. Can you imagine not being able to go to church for 12 years? That would affect you emotionally. That would affect you, obviously, physically. The fact that she could not worship God. The text would teach us that she had endured much. That many physicians had been involved. And she had spent all that she had. She was broke. And she had only gotten worse. This woman was definitely hopeless. In that she had lost all of her hope in this life of being made whole. We also understand as we look at the text that she had heard about Jesus. Now how she heard about Jesus, I don't know. What she heard about Jesus, I don't know. But she hears about Jesus and she decides to go to see Jesus. Now understand, she is unclean. And if she is a religious person, then anybody she touches, they become unclean too. And it's important for us to understand that there was a crowd of people around Jesus. So for her to be able to finagle around and to wiggle through and to get to Jesus was significant. The fact that she came up from behind Him may have said something about her personally in being a woman. Not to confront Him, but being very modest. It may have been by the fact that she was unclean. She did not want to touch Him, but as we read in the text, she only wanted to touch the hem of His garment. Now, I'm not sure how that affects the cleanliness of someone by only not touching them physically, but only touching the hem of their garment. But yet, she comes up from behind Him. And she had reasoned in herself, if I just touch His garments, I shall get well. Now, the fact that she would touch His garment only. Notice, she's not thinking, I will talk to Jesus and ask Him to heal me. She's not thinking that she has to have some, you know, miraculous kind of touching, holding, whatever, for this to happen. She not only has heard about Jesus, but whatever she's heard, however she learned about Jesus, she is convinced that He is so powerful in healing and miracles that she could just touch the hem of His garment and that would heal her. What would we call that? We call that great faith. She had a tremendous belief that she could be healed in this fashion. You know, it's interesting that the touch being miraculous. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, you may recall that Elisha, the prophet, was dead and was buried. There was a man that died, and those who were going to bury him, they had to, quite hurriedly, because a marauding band was coming through the area, and they were afraid they were going to be killed and or robbed or both. So they took the body of the dead man and they threw him into the grave of Elisha. And when the dead man hit the bones of Elisha, the text says that the man came to and stood up. Well, that was pretty miraculous, would you not say? In the book of Acts, chapter 5, later on in the gospel age, we find that the apostle Peter, that people were bringing out all of the sick and they were laying them as Peter would come down the road. And they were hoping that just the shadow of Peter upon them would heal them. Well, you can see from this particular story, there becomes the knowledge of the power of God to heal. We also understand that in Mark chapter 6, just later after this miracle, verse 56, the text says, "And whenever he entered," that is Jesus, "entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and entreating him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were being cured." So there's quite some, there's some interesting things that take place as a result of this one lady. Now think again. She's heard about Jesus. She comes to Jesus. She's already thought in her mind, if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. We're going to learn in this story that it becomes known. And how does it affect the public in regards to miraculous healing? Well, in the next chapter, people are bringing out people so that they could just touch the hem of his garment. Later, when Peter, as an apostle, just his shadow would heal them. Isn't it interesting how one person's faith can affect the faith of many, many, many other people? We also understand that this idea of, some of your versions will say borders, some say the garment, some say fringe, but it really has to do with, from the text, it has to do with a tassel. And if you'll notice in this particular picture, you'll notice that there is a blue tassel hanging down, and this garment is more like a shawl or some kind of wrap. And what we learn from Scripture is that under the old law, that the Jews were commanded to put blue tassels on a garment that they would wear, and it was to remind them of the written law of God. It was a reminder of God's Word. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, Jesus condemned some of the religious hierarchy because they had gone overboard with this. In Matthew 23 and verse 5, Jesus says, "But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries." Now, phylacteries were these little boxes that they would put on their head. And inside these little boxes would be copies of the Torah. Okay? "And lengthen the tassels of their garments." So, here's the deal. You have this cover, this outer garment, and it has the blue tassels on it to remind you personally of the law of God. Well, you know, the tassels may be this long. But then what the Jews were doing, they kind of got into the idea that they would make the tassels longer and you'd be more spiritual, you see. Well, Jesus condemned them that they were lengthening the tassels, appearing to be more righteous and more godly, but they were not. You see, the tassel was not in any shape, form, or fashion to be a medal in regards to your faithfulness. The tassel was only a remembrance or a memorial in the sense of to remind us of the law, to obey the law. So Jesus, being a Jew, he would have had tassels to conform to the law. And so this woman thinks, if I could just touch one of these tassels, then she would be healed. But then notice again in the text, when she touches Jesus, the tassel, she is immediately healed. Immediately. And we will mention this a number of times as we talk about these miracles. Because today, faith healing, people believe that miracles sometimes take a while. It may take a day or two, a week or two, a month or two, a year or two. But in the Bible, you will notice that when there are miracles performed, they are instantaneous. They are bam, right then. And when this woman touched Jesus, she was instantly healed. And what is even more interesting in this text is that the text indicates that Jesus felt power had gone forth from Him. Now that is amazing. It makes it sound in the first reading as if Jesus had no concept whatsoever of this woman. And it sounds as if, and I think from the woman's perspective, the story is related as if she stole something from Him. Jesus has this great power, and she sneaks up behind Him, and she touches His garment, and she gets healed, and He feels this power go forth from Him. Now, you can read a lot of passages in Scripture, and there's not any more intriguing than that one. To simply state that Jesus felt this power in Him, and He asked the question, "Who touched me?" Well, first of all, let me say, I don't believe that Jesus and the power within Him went into this woman and healed her without His knowledge or without His will or without His consent. That is not what we know from Scripture. Secondly, she was probably not the only one in the group that was sick. Think about it. Everywhere Jesus is going now, people are thronging Him. They're all over Him. Remember the miracle we studied last Sunday morning? That the crowd was so great, here is a paralytic, and he had to be let down through the roof of the house to get to Jesus, right? So all of these people are around Him. Do you not think that of all those people, that somebody had something wrong with them? Somebody had some kind of ailment? They were probably touching Jesus. Why aren't they healed at this point? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? But I would like to suggest to us that when Jesus finally asked, "Who touched me?" Do you think Jesus knew who touched Him? I do too. I believe that He knew exactly who touched Him, although she was behind Him. We might say, well, does Jesus have eyes in the back of His head? Well, as the Son of God, absolutely. He can see anything and everything. Well, if you think about that, when Jesus asked the question, was He asking in behalf of Himself, or was He asking in behalf of others? Would it not be like when God asked the question to Adam in the garden, "Where are you?" Now when you read that story, Adam and Eve sinned, ate of the fruit, clothed themselves, hid from God when He came walking in the garden again. Do you really think God did not know where Adam was? God knew where Adam was. Why did God ask the question? So that Adam would see where he was. You remember that God asked Cain, when Cain killed Abel, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Did God know where Abel was? Did God know what Cain had done? Absolutely. So I think it's in the same sense that Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" But the response of the disciples is hilarious. Now, I don't care who you are. When you study the Bible, there are a few times when it's just, you're going to, even if you're reading the Bible in the privacy, all by your lonesome, and you read this text, you're going to giggle. It's just a little bit funny. Because the one version says the disciples answered him, so there must have been more than one. And in one version it says just Peter responded. But here's the deal. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And Peter says, "Lord, there's people all over you. And you're asking, who touched me? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to say?" Well, that was absolutely true. I think that Jesus asked, "Who touched me for the benefit of the woman?" But also for the benefit of his disciples. Now think about it. What are miracles for? To confirm the word spoken. Jesus is going and he's teaching the word of God. How is he confirming to all of these people that he is the Son of God? How does he confirm that what he is saying is the word of God? By the miracles that he performs. Here he performs a miracle on a woman and nobody sees it. Nobody knows it except the woman. So is he going to, for lack of a better term, is he going to waste this miracle? Well, certainly we would see this. That Jesus is certainly concerned about one person, one soul. And he did not hold back in performing a miracle for one soul's sake. But it was a teaching moment for his disciples. He wanted them to know that he could perform a miracle in the way he just did it. Would that not be impressive to the disciples? The fact that one woman in a crowd is healed and everyone's touching him, that the Lord is not only able to know who touched him, but heal her without healing everyone else who was also touching him. That's deity. It has it written all over him. But then again, I'd like you to notice in the text, Jesus then he looks around to see the woman who touched him. The woman becomes very afraid and she's trembling. Why is she afraid and why is she trembling? She must have been in awe of the fact of who Jesus was. Remember, she had heard of him. Now, she spent all of her money. She has nothing. She has no hope. She's gotten worse. And she comes to Jesus out of desperation. Right? She comes up from behind him. She touches his garment. She immediately knows and feels within her something that has healed her. And she's probably elated. But she probably feels like she took all the cookies out of the cookie jar. That she took something that she shouldn't have done in a way that she shouldn't have done it. And she's in this crowd of people. Does she speak out, "Hallelujah! Wonderful!" No, she's quiet. She's embarrassed. She's afraid. She's scared. She's trembling. And then the Lord starts looking around. She didn't know he knew. Now she knows he knows. You following this? He looks around. She's bound to have heard him say, "Who touched me?" She's bound to have heard the disciples amongst themselves saying, "Jesus, what is the deal, man? We can't. Everybody's touching you." Okay, there. She's hearing this. And then he looks around and he must have and afraid and trembling because she got caught. She got caught. Now what? She had no idea of what now. She had no clue. She's not been educated in the disciple or in Jesus' teaching as a disciple. Because if she had been following Jesus and she had been listening to Jesus for a long time, and this is the reason she came, she would have certainly learned that Jesus is a very compassionate man. He's a compassionate God. But she doesn't know. So she falls down in front of Jesus, in front of all of the people, and she fessed up. She just tells the whole truth. And you get the idea here that she goes through the whole rigmarole with him. Her whole life story here on this deal. Now who knows about this private healing? Who knows now about what happened? They can see this woman before Jesus, whom they may or may not have known. But she is frightened and she is trembling and she is wholeheartedly opening up her heart to Jesus and she's saying, "This is my story. This is why I touched you and I have been healed. I felt it." Do you think she maybe even said, "I'm sorry"? Now think about that. This poor lady. Jesus responds to this woman. "Daughter, your faith has made you well." But you know the word daughter, this word specifically, is the only time that Jesus uses this word to a woman. And it is a pretty special, affectionate word. It sometimes is translated "little girl," but sometimes it is translated "sweetheart." Now, I have no idea how old this woman was, but any woman would have loved to have heard this word addressed to them from a man. It was not sexual in nature, but it was compassionate. It was affectionate. "Daughter, take courage." Why did he say take courage? Because she had lost her courage. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back up. Did she have courage to come to Jesus? Yes. You think about the nerve it took for her to go to Jesus under those circumstances. But when she was healed, here is a moment when she ought to be just jumping for joy and so excited, but she's scared to death and she's trembling and she's lost her courage. She's lost the wind in her sails. What is she thinking? "I have stolen this without permission and he's going to take it away from me." So while she's healed, she evidently thinks she's going to be unhealed. And Jesus very tenderly says, "Take courage. Go in peace. And be healed of your affliction." Does it matter that she's been to all those doctors for 12 years and spent all of her money? Does it matter now? What matters? She's healed. And this Jesus, whom she had heard of, she really believes. She really trusts. And he's been so tender and compassionate with her. Brother and sister in Christ, this is just one story that was written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing
you may have life in His name. Jesus is a hope to all the hopeless. I don't know of a sermon that is any more timely than this one today. Our country, our people have lost their way. They have gone hog wild and pig crazy nuts. And it's getting worser. And the answer is not President Trump. And the answer is not a new Supreme Court justice. The answer is the Lord. This is a great opportunity, brothers and sisters in Christ, to take the gospel to a lost and hopeless world. Because people have spent all that they've got. They've given all that they've got. And what have they got in return? Worse. People are fed up. People are mad. People are angry. People are bitter. Because this life does not offer the fulfillment and the need of healing that each of us need. Jesus healed a woman that man could not cure. There is no cure for any of our friends of this world with anything of this world. The cure is not there. Man cannot do that. Trump will never, ever make America great again. It is by God's mercy that we are who we are. It is God's gift. Have we forgotten that? Her faith healed her. The word healed here is the same word that is used for saved. It's also a word that can be translated delivered. Jesus delivered this poor woman. He saved this poor woman. He healed this poor woman. Jesus is the hope for all those who have faith in Him. And this might sound like such a trivial thing. And the religious world has trivialized it. All you have to do is have faith in God and everything's cool. Let me tell you, this woman had more than faith. Last week's question, what does faith look like? It means coming to God. It has to do with doing something. This woman, she could have stayed home and believed that Jesus could heal her. And she would not have been healed. She had to come to Jesus. And you can sit there in that pew like a knot on a log and believe in Jesus and not come to Him, and you will not be healed. You must come to Him. Believing with all of your heart. And do whatever He says to do. Kenneth Chumley, in his gospel commentary on the book of Matthew, he said, "He whom hell could not stop was stopped by the touch of a person in need." When I read that, I had to back up. And I know Ken Chumley, and I thought, man, that sounded almost by inspiration there. That was an awesome statement that he made. So I printed it for you. Think about that. Jesus Christ walking with all these people around him. People had no clue what he was, who he was, what he was capable of. He is the Son of the living God, creating all things. But this woman, she touched his garment with an inner faith that became so obvious. Hell could not stop Jesus, but he was stopped by a woman in need. You tell me, this is not one of the most compassionate examples of the God whom we serve. Brother and sister in Christ, do you not understand whom we remembered this morning? Do we not comprehend the greatness of this Jesus? We read this morning and studied in our Bible class, Hebrews chapter 2. Now, in this context, listen to these words again. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. In chapter 4, in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I don't care who you are in this audience this morning. You need Jesus. You need Him in the most desperate way. You may not know it yet. And he may just be walking around in the crowd, and there you are, and you see him, and you within touching distance of him, and you haven't been healed of a thing. The difference? You need to seek him in faith. Seek him in faith. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? These things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. Oh, incidentally, if you're an apostle and you're standing there, and you hear the confession of this woman, and you hear the words of Jesus, what are you thinking right now as an apostle? Here I am standing. Michael's Jesus. And I'm standing right here. Jesus performed a tremendous miracle on this woman. And I was standing right there. And I didn't even see it. I didn't even see it. Jesus is so awesomely great that He does things and I'm standing right there and I don't even see it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, just shy of miracles, there is great and wonderful things that happen among us as the people of God. And we're sitting right here and we don't even see it. Wake up to the greatness and the supremacy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pay attention to the Lord. He loves you. He is compassionate. He will forgive you. And He will heal you. He will deliver you. But if you just continue to be one of the crowd, you're going to get lost in the crowd. And you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. The song of encouragement is selected this morning. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, all things are ready, all things are prepared. If you're a child of God, and maybe you've lost your way, maybe you've lost your courage, maybe you're without hope, where are you going to go? Go home and turn on Fox and watch and see what they say about President Trump. That'll make you feel better. I'm not against Trump. I'm just saying who you ought to be for and who you are to be tuned into. And that is Jesus Christ. He loves you. He will heal you. He will help you. Not miraculously. Not today. But He will do anything and everything that you need in order to come to Him and be faithful to Him. He gives us that great promise. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Jesus is tenderly calling me.